It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Yeah, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this feel-good Mets baseball Friday after they beat the Milwaukee Brewers in the most dramatic fashion you possibly could, a storybook ending to that series with Pete Alonso and his three-run homer after being invisible for a very long time, not hitting a home run since September 19th, coming up with an opportunity to either ground it to a double play, pop up, strike out, or hit a home run. And he decided to hit a home run. Mojo Rising, the 1999 Mets theme song, which was brought to the team by Robin Ventura at that time. That was a very special season. Of course, it ended in the NLCS, but another one of these examples of a theme song driving a Mets team throughout a special season, and we've got that with OMG, and I can't get enough of these reaction videos from Citi Field, people that were there for the watch party. The Seven Line took over a bar in New York City. There's videos there. You know, I give credit to the people that don't know what the outcome is going to be and then filming it while it's happening, because I could never. Because then on my, like, if something bad happened, I'd have that on my phone forever. Like, the memory of something bad happening. But all these people had their phones rolling before Alonso hit the home run to provide just a great reaction. You can see some of it on CBS Sports Network from last night. It's the absolute height of euphoria for a baseball fan outside of, you know, winning a World Series. This was as good as it gets.
Well, you know, we all kind of felt like this was the moment for Pete, honestly.
Well, I've been saying it for months.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So this was the last opportunity for him, because if he does something that he didn't do and maybe hits into a double play or pops out or something, that may have been the last time we would have seen him in a Met uniform.
Which is another layer of this.
I know.
Incredible.
And they even said that last night on the broadcast, which was, I was like, oh, my God, this could be the last. Oh, my God. This could be the last time we actually see him. So while we have all been frustrated with his performance at the plate and the lack of the big hits like this, I think all of us, even Frank the Tank, who got on Pete about two or three innings beforehand, have to agree that there's a general feeling of euphoria for Pete himself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and nobody dislikes Pete the guy. You know, it's just, if anything, you felt for him during the struggles as much as it was frustrating. And, I mean, that layer of it, too, where you're like, man, if this guy grounds into a double play and ends this game and ends this series, that he may never be a New York Met again.
Now he actually may stay here as a Met. Who knows?
That's insane,
but
man.
But I do know this, that, you know, that moment will be etched in, just like the Francisco Lindor moment down in Atlanta, is going to be etched in all of our brains for the rest of our lives.
Yeah,
especially if you're a young Met fan like you were way back when, to all the games you were talking about and what you remember most about certain games and certain seasons.
Yeah, I mean, fast forward 25 years to someone who was my age then, and you're right, they'll never forget. They'll be able to spit out word for word where they were, who was on the mound, what was going on, who they were with. I mean, we will too, but I mean, there's the fans that are in their formative years that get a chance to see this, where it's the most special thing that's going on in their lives. And I mean, it's just this is, you know, there's so much hyperbole that you could throw out there this morning, and I'm trying to avoid going too over the top with it. But honestly, like, moments like that last night is why we're here, why you're a fan, why sports ends up being what it is monetarily for so many people is that, because you can't really recreate that moment in any other way. I mean, to have your team that you love, that you follow, have moments like that is why everybody keeps going back to sports, why you don't give up on your team, why you go back. Like in moments like in the NFL, too, is why Amazon, Netflix, and all these teams, they all want a part of it, because in part, you get these special moments that don't come along all that often that you never forget.
especially that game last night with the Falcons and the way that they win the game in overtime.
Yeah.
I mean, they had the same feeling as the Met fan, even though that this was an elimination game and it was a playoff game. But I think about the Larry Johnson four-point play. I think about when Willis Reed came out of the locker room for Game 7. You think about Mark Messier having the hat trick against the Devils. Those are all my memories, my fan memories.
You know,
I have those for my teams, and everybody has them for their own teams. But when your team does something like what has happened this week twice, it's insane.
And there's different levels. Like there's levels of the ones like the big postseason moments or end of regular season moments in years that don't end up in championships.
How about
and there's
the Aaron one Boone that, home run?
What's that?
How about the Aaron Boone home run?
Oh yeah, well of course, yes. And that didn't end up in a championship for the Yankees
moment,
that year.
Though.
But it was a great moment. But yeah, my point being that there's great, like when you're talking about Messier and Willis Reed, that's the next level. You know, that's the platinum level.
Which is actually Clyde Frazier was the Willis Reed game. Yes.
Right, that's the platinum level. The Bill Buckner, that platinum level stuff when you end up winning a championship. And there's many other great moments, though, in years that you don't win a championship. We'll see what ends up happening in the stories of the Yankees and the Mets. But, I mean...
But to have two in the ninth inning?
In a week!
In the ninth inning.
The same week!
God.
Well, let's go to John in Creskill, New Jersey. What's going on, John?
Boomer and Gio, how we doing, boys?
Oh, yeah, hey, baby. What's happening, Jono?
Yeah, baby. So I got to say, I've been the biggest Alonso hater as of late, man. I swear to God, I came up in the fifth inning. I told my uncle, I'm done with him. He sucks. My dad was going to me. He was fun. He's doing, man. He's doing. I was like, no, he's not. He sucks. And I couldn't be happier to be wrong, man. I swear to God, I screamed so loud when he hit that home run. And, you know, it was really cool to watch that for Pete.
Would you like to apologize to Pete publicly?
I would. I really would. I'd like to say I'm sorry to Pete for hating so much. But thanks for having me, guys. Let's go Mets.
All right, John. I'm just glad people are getting it off their chest, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's okay to be frustrated with Pete Alonso, you know, and everybody that's, you know, bringing up this stuff, like, you know, Sal yesterday screaming, I've had it with Pete Alonso, or Frank the Tank, you know, talking about this guy and I can't stand him. What, I mean, it's okay to go from being frustrated with a guy to being all over him and happy that he hit a home run. I mean, that's just the ups and downs of a sports fan. I mean,
that's right. And you'd think he hadn't hit one since September 19th.
Yeah.
And he tripped over his bat.
Yeah, he dropped
cost
the
run. He dropped the papas. I mean, there's been things going on that lead fans to feel a certain way about a certain player. But the one thing I will say that there is a healthy admiration and respect for him the way he's handled himself.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anybody's, you know, and he played 162 games, and he wanted to play 162 games.
Yeah, I mean, and to think of all the moments that he came up where something could have happened. And last night it's against Devin Williams, and he goes the opposite way and muscles that home run over the right field wall. It's like, you saved it for the best moment, man. All those other moments that we wanted you to come through and you didn't, if you would have told me that this would have happened, I would have been okay with it.
I like that. I like to use the word muscles.
Yeah, and I mean,
as opposed to nestles.
Yeah, right. Muscle. He said, Evan said nestles. But yeah, no, he muscled that ball over the right field wall. I mean, just pure insanity. And, you know, he looked out of sorts. He didn't look like himself. He was handling it professionally. It's funny, you know, speaking of Frank the Tank, he did a walk with Dog yesterday, and they're talking about the game last night before the game. And one thing Dog said, he's like, hey, listen, big advantage for the Brewers, you know, because Devin Williams is going to get three outs. He's going to get three outs. You know it's going to happen. So one-run lead, two-run lead in the ninth. Game over for the Brewers, because that Devin Williams is going to get three outs.
Ultimately,
didn't happen.
Ultimately, and I felt like after Quintana was done, the Mets were losing the battle of the bullpens.
Sure, yeah.
But ultimately, they ended up winning the battle of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. The battle of the bulge.
And the beauty of it was that a guy that hadn't come out of the bullpen since last year came out of the bullpen in the bottom of the ninth and got three outs.
Right. I mean, in that situation, which is, that's not easy. It's just not an easy thing to do. Mentally and physically. Dom,
I got two to WFAN to tell my story.
All right, tell your story, Dom. What's happening,
Dom? What's on your story?
Dom?
Dom from Staten Island. How you doing?
Hey, Dom, what's up, Dom? You're on the air, man.
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay, I got a funny little story about last night.
Tell your story.
I'm sitting on the couch watching the game. I'm jumping up and down for each batter. And then when Mentos strikes out, I sit back down. Nimmo gets a hit. Alonzo hits a home run. I jump up. I strained my calf muscle.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I know all about that.
But then here's the kicker. I call my son, who's a Yankee fan. I tell him, did you see that? He says, oh, they still got to play the ninth inning. They didn't win yet. I hung up on him.
Yeah, but can you blame him? I mean, obviously with the way the bullpen was and you used Diaz, you know who you were going to go to. You sound like my type of guy, Dom. You know, pulling muscles in situations that you shouldn't.
You got to watch your Achilles now.
Yeah, no,
that's true. The big thing in sports.
Yeah, I knew a guy who got up from his couch and ruptured his Achilles. And ever since I heard that story, I figured that was going to be my fate one day. So when I hear stories like that, I'm thinking, man, that's coming for me at some point. So I'm tight. And by the way, did he call Vientos Mentos there?
Yes, he did. Mentos. Yeah. It sounded like Ventos.
Ventos.
Not Mentos.
Ventos Fresh. The Fresh Maker. Let's go to Matt, Florida. What's going on, Matt?
Orangeo, what is up?
Oh, yeah. What's happening, Matty?
I got to tell you, I was pumped up last night. I'm a Yankee fan, but I was going crazy. I was going crazy when Alonzo hit that home run. I don't even know what the hell was going on. I don't even know where I was. I was all pumped up. I'm all over it. I won a Subway Series. I feel really happy for him. You know, it takes me back to, I'm 37, so I've seen the Yankees win, obviously, the five championships. And it reminds me a lot of the Leyritz home run in 96 against the Braves, just how pumped up I was. But I'm surprised you guys haven't mentioned. Do you think that's a pound town spot?
Well, I don't know. Did they go home or not? I mean,
yeah, I think they went. No, they were on the plane last night. We were wondering whether or not they came back home here first, and then we'll go to Philadelphia later on today, maybe to come home, get some fresh clothes or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, Matt, it's a good question. Oh, man.
It's got to be a pound town spot.
I don't know. It's a long day, the flight, everything.
Oh, believe me, the juices are flowing.
Okay, I'll believe you then. I just didn't want to automatically say Pound Town and think about some of the circumstances. Yeah, you're probably right. Wherever they landed, because if he was with his wife...
I don't know if then maybe sometimes the wives go on these trips. I'm not sure.
Well, they
sure.
must have been, because that's where he got the pumpkin. He didn't do that on his own. I told you, his wife must have been there. He did not go get a pumpkin on his own. There's no way. If he during the day in Milwaukee went to a pumpkin farm and got that rally pumpkin by himself, I got lots of questions. There's no way. I mean, the wife is probably like, listen, you guys aren't going to make the playoffs this year. Like, we're going to have this farm thing in October. And then Pete's like, okay. And then they make the playoffs and they're still winning. She's got to go to Milwaukee. Hey, I want to go to this pumpkin farm.
Maybe there's a famous pumpkin farm out there outside of Milwaukee.
Could be. I don't know. But the wife was definitely with him. 100%.
I mean, sometimes the families do go on these trips. I'm not sure if they did it in this particular case.
But yeah, we're thinking whenever they were reunited, Pound Town spot.
All right.
Nick, Staten Island, what's going on, Nick?
Hey, guys, what's up? First time, long time. Love listening to you guys going into work. I got a little funny story about last game. Nice, relaxed by myself. My girlfriend in the city getting big-faced, and she texts me saying, and this is in the seventh inning, it's all tied. I go, she asked me to come pick her up. I said, you got to be kidding me. So I pick her up, and in the car, of course, I'm listening to Harry Rose, and it was just unbelievable. I'm screaming. She's like, are you kidding me? This, that, that. I'm like, no, there's only three things I really cared about, like my family, you, and the Mets. And the fact that you just made me miss this moment, and it was just unbelievable. But listening to that call, and just it was something I'll never forget, and I'll always remember that.
So, Nikki, this is a Pound Town spot for you then.
It better be.
Should have been last night if you went out and got her because she wanted to ride. That's a great boyfriend.
Yeah, it certainly is. And as much as you missed from just watching it, getting to hear that Howie Rose call live, not knowing what was happening, had to be a special moment too, because me listening to it after it happened was amazing. And him screaming, he did it. So Yeah. I mean, it's just stories like that that people are telling us today. We'll be telling that story for 10, 15, 20, 25 years down the road. You know, Dom in Staten Island pulling his calf. This guy picking up his girlfriend who might be his wife, who might be the mother of his children. Say, remember the time you made me miss the Alonzo home run because you had to go out drinking? I mean, this is what this is. This is one of those moments where you just know where you were, what you were doing, and how you felt.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on this feel-good Mets baseball Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network after one of the most spectacular finishes in Mets history. Yes, I'm going to say that. Pete Alonso with his back up against the wall, not only in the game, but in his Mets career. Could have been his final at-bat as a Met. Sends them essentially into the NLDS against Philadelphia Phillies.
You know, I love it when we're all together, and Jerry's in here now, Al, Eddie, we're all here, we're all feeling the euphoria of the Mets. And there has to be a special reason why this happened last night.
Mm.
So let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. Ray, what's happening?
Morning, Ray.
Morning. Boomer, I'm so happy to be talking to you. I was one of your greatest cheerleaders when you came to the Jets.
Thank you.
And my peers, I'm calling from Brooklyn, Canarsie, and my peers thought that you were going to be the second coming of Joe DiMaggio at the time. And we were so excited because the Jets was truly in a long drought. And
sorry, Ray.
You know, I remember. Yeah, but we were all very happy that the Jets got, you know, something to cheer about, first of all. And, you know, you've always been an icon of the game and how you play the position.
All right, so, Ray, what about last night? What happened last night?
Okay, last night, I remember a caller called in after Willie was fired from the Mets. And the caller says that the Mets would never win another playoff game again because they unfairly fired Willie. And I remembered that, and it felt like there was I've always felt like there was a curse that was placed over the team over the years, that they were never winning, that they would never win another game. And and everything that happens to the Mets, every time they get a good pitcher, something always happens to them. They never tend to.
This guy's ruining my day.
I just want to
have a good day.
I thought he was going to go where he.
They never, ever, ever go where you think they're going to go.
What did Ray say to you?
God knows this guy.
What?
He prayed to the baby Jesus to lift the curse.
And I wanted Jerry to hear that.
They just never.
Ray seems like a nice guy, but I don't know why he was going on a soliloquy.
Because this is what they do. Right. This is why.
This is when you hand the keys
over to them. The good callers, by the way.
Right, yeah.
These are the good ones.
All right, I got
you. So they stink.
You just can't do
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Can't hand it over to them.
His point was in the power of prayer.
And right. You know who put the rainbow there? God. Fraud! Fraud!
This is why I wanted Ray to get to his point.
Well, yes, exactly.
Because Jerry was in here.
Yeah, we know what you were trying to do, but one thing that I learned is the callers aren't in on it like we're on it. They're not professional broadcasters. They have no idea what they're doing. They tell Al something, they get on the air, they get nervous, they start tongue-bathing you about the Jets. They don't know what they're doing. So it's like, you can set me up, I can set you up, I can set Jerry up. We can set each other up. You can't set Ray in Brooklyn up because he doesn't know what the F he's doing. No idea.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry.
That's not your fault.
You live and you learn.
Yeah.
You know. What do I have to do with anything?
Because of what Eddie just played.
Yeah, you know what you have to do with it.
Ray said
it's a bird, you moron.
Yeah, yes. No. But that's different than him praying to God like a lot of people do.
No, for the Mets.
That's
though.
More of an
what
Eddie
about
thing?
The Milwaukee
yes.
Brewers
I agree.
Fans that are praying
I'm
to
sure
God.
I'm sure there's a lot. Bob Uecker, I'm sure, is very upset this morning, and I'm sure he prayed to God yesterday morning. He got no reward.
I don't think he did.
Well, how do you know? You don't know that he didn't. I'm sure someone in Milwaukee, a Brewers fan, was on their knees praying to God yesterday.
My buddy, I guarantee you, my buddy is a huge supporter of Notre Dame, Boston College, and he sits right behind home plate for those Brewers games. I know he was praying.
Yeah, didn't work out.
Really worked out, yeah.
Yeah, did not work
out. Ioannis.
Perfect. All right, Jerry, what's going on?
We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We'll just roll with us, so we'll get you where you got to go. Mets Brewers last night. Last hour, we heard from the Howie Rose call, which we'll hear again next hour and the hour after that. But I would like to play for you how it indeed sounded in Milwaukee with Bob Uecker and things, well, they didn't go the Brewers' way.
And the pitch. Hit in the air to right. Deep warning track and gone. Peter Alonso just put New York on top in this one.
Yep, made it 3-2. They would tack on one more, and the Mets come back from 2-0 down to the ninth inning and beat the Brewers 4-2 as they head off to the NL.
Doesn't you could do that whole thing by himself?
No.
Mm-mm. He's got an analyst.
I heard his final call, which was...
So here, I'll give it to you. Now, I cut the analyst out of it because otherwise it'd be way too long. This was a very sad Bob Uecker.
Well, New York down. They did it. And the crew will have it end here tonight.
No.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it.
I mean, that's terrible. I'm laughing, but that's terrible.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Guy's 90-something years old, still doing a good job. What are you doing?
Great job.
All right, since we did the before and the after stuff, I might as well get to that, too, before we get to the the locker room sounds. I would just like to take you back to 10:40 yesterday
morning.
Is Eddie
like a legitimately bad person? Like, I think he might be a
Eddie,
bad guy.
Eddie positions himself as this lovey-dovey, come-hug-me type guy, and he is an assassin.
I think he might be a bad guy.
Yes, he is. He just sits there and pushes those buttons.
He loves other people's misery.
We're talking about a legend, man. A legend. And Bob Uecker calling the game. He's like, that one had some sting to it. He's playing flatline sound.
Eddie lives in a world of Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
Yep, you're right.
Just does.
All right, sorry, Jerry. Go ahead.
So let me take you back to 10:40 yesterday morning where one Sal Acata, well, him and Pete have a love-hate relationship, and he was hating on him and has for a while.
Enough! I can't even watch Pete Alonso anymore. And, of course, he gets a base hit and two outs, nobody on in the seventh inning. Pete Alonso is killing this team.
Now, I take it at 10 o'clock last night inside the Licata Estate as he hits the home run.
Yeah! Yeah, Pete! Yeah! Last at bat, baby! Yeah! That's what we've been waiting for! Yeah, Pete! Sign him up!
Sign him up.
Not for nothing. Is he...
By himself?
Yeah, but he sounds like he's Doc from Back to the Future on a street by himself with the echo.
No, yes. I know.
The hell kind of a house is he in?
Right, so I had the same reaction. One, does he have any furniture in that home? And two, isn't there a baby in that house somewhere?
Maybe on the fourth floor.
I don't know. That he can hide the baby.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah! Yeah, Pete!
I mean, maybe his wife makes money. I don't know.
She has to.
Yeah, right.
She has to.
Man, way to go.
Yeah.
So, everybody very excited. I'm starting to see more and more of these reactions coming out. Do you guys watch a game rolling the phone on you?
I just said that before. I said, no, never. Well, this was after.
His was after.
Right.
But like KFC Barstool... While it happened, I just saw his. Frank, well, I know Frank the Tank always rolls.
He was
camera.
On a live stream with the Barstool.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they do that live stream. And
it's like a Manning cast.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a Frank cast.
If you look at the guys, the Mets fans at Barstool that watch that game together, I mean, it is. It looks like the bar in Star Wars.
They're not going to be around much longer, that's for sure.
I mean, they are. This is an interesting group.
Which one's the ones with the three boobs?
Clem. It's a guy named Clem, actually. He's the big one.
It's funny. So anyhow, so the Mets win 4-2. Alonso the home run, and this was a couple of innings after the Brewers had hit back-to-back home runs, Bowers and Frelick off of Jose Buto. Edwin Diaz would go an inning and two-thirds for the win, and it was David Peterson that did close it out. Just a couple of quickies. Here was Carlos.
Hey, well, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
I think we all were thinking the same thing. What is Carlos Mendoza going to do in the ninth? Did you think he was going to bring Diaz out just to see if he can get a guy out or anything?
I didn't know what he was going to do. I didn't think Diaz was coming back out.
We all saw Peterson warming up, and then when they went to go to commercial, we saw that Peterson was coming into the game.
Diaz with 40 pitches.
I know. The first
I thought it was going to be Stanek. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, I think we were all thinking the same thing. Like, what is he going to do now?
Oh, yeah.
The moment they took the lead, it was like, okay, well, how are we getting three outs?
I said to Al, too, he gets the double play. If he didn't, Churio's the one on deck.
Yes. Mm.
Oof. But they got away with it. Here is Carlos Mendoza on Alonso.
It's been hard for him, you know, the whole year. And people talk about, you know, wanting more from Pete. And you look at his number, it's pretty good year, you know. Obviously, the standards and the expectations from here, from him are like, he should hit 45, 50 homers every day. It's not easy. You know?
No, but the problem is when he's hit them and his impact on this team this year.
He hasn't hit one in a month.
That too. I think he was 5-for-41 until last night with 5 singles.
Yeah.
But he hits the biggest home run of the season, and it's on to Philadelphia. Mets and Phillies, games 1 and 2 Saturday and Sunday, and then game 3 Citi Field on Tuesday. As for the Yankees, they will begin tomorrow night with the Royals, Gerrit Cole, Michael Wacha, the game 1 starters. And it looks like Terry Francona will be the next manager of the Cincinnati Reds. The Thursday night football game, we heard from the Atlanta broadcast crew last hour. Here's Ian Eagle on Westwood One as the Falcons beat the Bucks in OT.
Pistol formation, motion man Mooney, Robinson in the backfield. The throw from Cousins, it's caught at the 40, moving upfield. Hodge, he could go! 10-5, touchdown! That is a winner for the Atlanta Falcons!
Yes, it was. 36-30, the final. Again, Ian on Westwood 1 as Atlanta gets to 3-2. The Bucs falling to 3-2. Kirk Cousins caps his 509-yard night with the game-winning touchdown pass. He threw 4 of them on the night. Drake London, 12 catches,
another
$1.50.
Another fourth-quarter comeback, by the way, for him.
How about that?
Yeah, I mean, 550 total yards for the Falcons. They paid him $100 million. They drafted Michael Penix Jr., and this is the reason why they drafted him. I mean, or signed him as a free agent.
Yep.
This throw that he throws to Hodge?
Yeah.
Is away from the defender perfectly. The defender misses the tackle, and this is why you have a guy like this and why you pay a guy like this.
Here was Raheem Morris. Don't need to get too descriptive when talking about how good he was.
Yeah, Coach, could you discuss the play of Kirk Cousins today?
Outstanding.
Could you discuss his play in overtime?
Outstanding.
That's pretty much it. That's all you kind of need to know.
Hey, tell me where the bathroom is.
Yeah, their offensive line was great, too. I mean, they gave him a lot of time. And defense in this game was horrendous, by the way.
The defense in a lot of games is pretty horrendous.
Yeah, but I think now that we are in week 5.
And we're out of the preseason.
We're out of the preseason. Guys are starting to play more. Guys are getting used to each other. New quarterbacks in new places. New coaches in new places are figuring it out, especially with the Falcons and all the athletes they have on their team.
Jets and Vikings in London Sunday. Giants in Seattle. Carl Anthony Towns with the media in New York. He is now the newest of Knicks. How he thinks he will fit in here.
I'm just going to be the best version of myself. And like I said, just continue to amplify my teammates and be the best teammate I could be on and off the court. So for me, just going out there and being the best version of myself and being the best teammate I could be, whether that be on and off the court.
And then he said he went right to the leader. The man, the myth, the legend himself.
The first thing I did, I walked up to jail and I introduced myself, told him my name was Carl. And I know it was a struggle for him, so I just wanted to let him know who I was and introduce myself to Cap, so it was fine.
So now you got that in New York. In Minnesota, they had Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle with the media. Randle was talking about how when he first found out about the deal, he was really bummed out about it. But then he also realized it's a good spot for him going to Minneapolis.
And I woke up the next morning and I was just really, really excited. It was a breath of fresh air. I'm excited to bring everything that I learned here over the past 5 years and, you know, help these guys out. You know, my only thing here is I just want to help Rudy, Nas, all those guys. You know, I want to help win a championship. So that's the only thing that matters.
And they still got a good team.
They got a very good team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just that the Knicks needed to do something. It's unfortunate that two popular players had to go in the trade and
got to give something to get something. Business.
That's exactly right.
His wife said she was excited for the space that she's going to get,
yeah, as opposed to living in the tiny condo.
Yes,
that's what she said.
In Minnesota,
didn't he make like hundreds of millions of dollars?
Yes, yeah. Yes, and he'll get another big contract, right? You know, after this year is over. And but he's like one of those interesting players. Like you love him, and you really want to pay him like long term dollars.
Well, the Knicks did not.
Right. Devil Again, Sabres, second time. 1 o'clock this afternoon, the start of the NHL season.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is a feel-good Mets baseball Friday. It's also a feel-good football Friday. And the road to New Orleans is with Boomer and Geo. Yeah, that's right. We're going to take you on this road to New Orleans throughout the season. It's presented by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. And a big game for the Jets, obviously, in London against the Vikings. Critical, critical game after what happened last week. And a spot for the Giants that I don't love for them, but they have been playing better football the last couple of weeks. It really does not seem like, I mean, we have barely talked about the Giants with everything that's going on with baseball, the Mets, and the Jets this week. We do want to hear from more Met fans this morning, so let's do that. Let's go to Deep in New Jersey. What's going on, Deep? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for I was surprised I got my call through Boomer Geo. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, all September I knew that there was something different about this Mets team. It wasn't the same old Jim Mets. And what they did against, you know, my favorite team, the Atlanta Braves, they did exactly the same thing to the Milwaukee Brewers last night. Snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. And one specific thing, this all comes back to what the manager did pregame, moving Pete Alonso back up to his original spot, which is a cleanup hitter and a four hitter for the Mets. He moved him back up, and I think to try and spark him. And throughout the game, didn't seem like it was doing anything. And when he dropped that pop-up, it became all mental. Like, no one expects. And when he comes up in the ninth inning as a cleanup spot, no one expects this guy to do it. And then he flips the narrative. I mean, but just remember, that moment never happens if the manager doesn't have the trust and the faith in his player to come through for his team and he came up big for your team. And we'll see what happens against the Phillies. I'll watch with a neutral eye, but that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was great. I think all sports fans can appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, of
just
course.
I could appreciate what Kirk Cousins did last night.
Yeah, certainly. Absolutely offensive display for the ages. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that had to happen for Pete Alonso to come up in that situation. But once you knew that it was going to be the top of the order in the top of the ninth, you're thinking, man, you know, one guy gets on base, Pete Alonso is going to come up with an opportunity to tie the game. He ended up having two guys on base with an opportunity to take the lead, and he did it.
Just remember, they only had three base runners up until the ninth inning. Two hits by Lindor, and then Winker gets hit by a pitch.
Mm-hmm.
He also gets hit by a pitch in the ninth inning again.
That's right.
And then he comes all the way around after he steals second in the smartest thing he did. And that was that, you know, that reminded me of the Royals in 2015. You take a base late in the game. In the ninth inning, you got the one run. You got Marte up there. You want to score on a hit. You got to steal second. That's why I was wondering whether or not Nimmo was going to try to steal second before Alonso hit the home run. But I know that Nimmo didn't want to, cause an out at second base.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so there's a lot of things to be thinking about in that situation. But anyway, Winker gets it, gets home on the Marte single, and he slams his helmet down at home plate.
Yeah, and it shatters. The earpiece came off of it. He was getting booed. He has got some crazy in him, and I love it when he's your guy. I mean, everybody else hates him. The Met fan hated him prior to him being a Met. I love the edge that he brings, and hopefully we see some of that in Philadelphia as well.
And by the way, he's had his moments. He's had his positive moments. He's also had his negative moments like everybody else. But last night, getting hit by two pitches and stealing second base and then scoring on the Marte single, that was big. That gave us breathing room.
Yeah. Insurance run. Let's go to Dan in Freehold. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, what's up, guys? Big time fan of the show and diehard loser of the Jets and Mets. But I just wanted to say thank God that the Mets won, because I hate to do it. I know it's a competitor, but ESPN's broadcast and production was awful. I'm not too young. I'm not too old. I'm 38. I'm falling asleep. Alonso hit the 3-run home run, and it was as if it was a pop fly to right field. Thank God I was trying to link the Odyssey app, because Howie, as you guys know, is so good. And I keep going back to that. I wish it was easier. I wish I was better at technology, too. But I just couldn't believe how bad the ESPN production was.
Yeah, listen, man, it is a...
By the way, what they did, just so you understand, and I understand why they did it, after the home run and Pete's rounding first base, he's rounding second, he's coming around, you know, you could see everybody just coming out of the dugout. There are a ton of curse words flying. So they had to turn the parabolic mics off on the field. And all you heard were the mics from the announcers. And that's why they sounded so clear and it sounded so dead, because they had to turn those mics off on the field because of what the players were saying.
Yeah, which is something that nobody thinks about. So that's a great point. I mean, I don't have as much problem with the ESPN broadcast outside of that stupid interview they had the other day. That was ridiculous. We talked about it yesterday. They're trying to get more people in with gimmicks that nobody cares about. The people that are watching this game have an extreme interest in the game. You don't need to do bells and whistles. But to me, nothing could have ruined that moment. For me, watching it, nothing. Not Boog Sciambi, Doug Glanville, ESPN, nothing. And the fact that it happened, I watched it. You could share through modern technology and social media and your phone and text messages with your friends. And then also hear the Howie Rose call later. It was great. Don't let anybody or anything
ruin it.
Cloud that moment at all. Alex and Cliff's, Anthony in East Brunswick. What's going on, Anthony?
Gio,
what?
Love you, bro. Boomer, love you. Listen, this does not happen. So I want to know, is Bernie Madoff, did he die yesterday order for this to happen to us? Has he always been dead?
I don't know if Bernie Madoff. I know that Brandon Nimmo's grandmother died.
So she's been the problem the whole time? Is that what you're telling me, Gio? Somebody died. This doesn't happen to the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know exactly how you feel. You feel like some sort of curse has been lifted. It still is a wild card series. They still have a long way to go to win a championship. Bernie Madoff has been dead for 3 years.
Yeah, he died in 2021, right?
Yeah, so that's that. And I don't believe that Brandon Nimmo's grandmother was the problem. But I know how he feels. I know that it's like something cosmically must have happened for the Mets to have flipped the script like they have this week. That's how he feels. I don't necessarily believe that those things have anything to do with sports, but it's been that type of week. Sunshine shining up our butts for once, huh?
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah, and it does.
Actually does feel good.
Yeah. Let's go to Nancy in Mineola. What's going on, Nancy?
Hi, Gio. Hi, Boomer.
Hey, Nancy. What's happening?
You guys, you're the best. Listen, I want to say two or three things to you. Boomer was talking about his friend that is big with Notre Dame and Holy Cross and
Boston College. Captain Catholic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you something, guys. Last night I sat here with the rosary. Okay, you talk about the Hail Mary pass in football. I sat here with the rosary and did a decade of the rosary, the Hail Marys, and Alonzo is the one that is keeping the revenue at Citi Field on Tuesday and Wednesday. Without that one home run, Cohen wouldn't be making any money Tuesday and Wednesday night.
Yeah.
That's thanks to Alonzo's bat.
Yeah, Nancy, does God hate the Brewers? Great.
The team is wonderful, but Alonzo is the one that's keeping the revenue at Citi Field on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Because the revenue is still coming in because of Alonzo.
Nancy, how do you think God feels about the Milwaukee Brewers? Hates them?
Do I hate them?
No, does God hate the Milwaukee Brewers?
Oh, no.
Okay.
It's just that if you look at all the ball players, a lot of them make the sign of the cross and look up to the sky. Mm. And the Hail Mary is the pass in football. It's also the Hail Marys that work in baseball.
Okay. All right, Nancy, listen. You do what you got to do watching the games.
Whatever. You know, whatever it takes.
Whatever.
I mean.
Whatever it takes is right.
God likes all.
But not the Brewers last night.
They must have sinned.
Yeah, big time.
No way.
They must have.
No. Clearly.
Clearly, yeah.
No.
I think, what do you think the Holy Ghost thinks about Milwaukee? We got any idea?
Well, I'm not sure which of the
200 plus branches of Christianity in the country adhere to the Holy Ghost situation?
Yeah.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.